Now it's time to hear God's word from the Bible, and we read this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 2.
The next day, Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. "They have no more wine," she told him. "How does that concern you and me?" Jesus asked. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." 6 stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes, and each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled to the brim, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So they followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "Usually a host serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone is full and doesn't care, he brings out the less expensive wines. But you've kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. When it was time for the annual Passover celebration, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices, and he saw money changers behind their counters. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the oxen, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Don't turn my mother's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from scriptures: "Passion for God's house consumes me." "What right do you have to do these things?" the Jewish leaders demanded. "If you have this authority from God, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you can do it in 3 days?" But by "this temple," Jesus meant his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed both Jesus and the scriptures. Because of the miraculous signs he did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many people were convinced that he was indeed the Messiah. But Jesus didn't trust them, because he knew what people were really like. No one needed to tell him about human nature. May God bless James's words to us. Amen.
So we were thinking earlier on in the service about habitats where animals live, and I asked the question, where does God live? And we came up with different answers, all of which were right. If you are watching this or listening to this online and you beat the score, congratulations. I came across this poem recently that's called Overturning Tables, and it's by somebody called John Vandalar. And it says this: "Truth be told, Jesus, there are lots of tables that need overturning in our lives. Beneath the veneer of respectability, the tidy rows and neat regulations hide dark addictions and angry judgments, hungry greeds and heartless rejections. So perhaps, Jesus, today, you could pay us a visit and help us to rearrange the furniture of our lives." God is everywhere, but that doesn't mean that God feels at home everywhere. There are many places in this world where God feels welcome, and there are many places where God does not feel welcome. So when Jesus comes to the earth, it's not about God becoming present on the earth. He is already present. It is about God coming and looking for a place on this earth where he feels at home. That's what Jesus calls my Father's house, dwelling place for God, a place where God and people will feel comfortable. And the good news for Mills Hill today and for all churches is that Jesus still has the passion to build the Father's house that he had all those years ago. The disciples look at what Jesus is doing in the temple, and it makes them remember this verse from a psalm where it says, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus is just dominated by this idea that God wants to dwell on the earth. God wants to be at home in the earth. In fact, the whole Bible really is the story of God seeking out a dwelling place on earth. Starts off with Adam and Eve in the garden, finishes off, and this is cutting a very long story short, with a city where God's people are his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And the church is here to be the community where God lives, where God dwells. We've learnt over the last 18 months, it's not about a building. And yeah, it's great to be back in here today. It's great to be doing services that more or less feel like normal. But we have said all the time, church is not building. Church is community. Church is family. And at its best, the church creates the Father's house upon the earth. The church creates a place where God lives. As we said earlier on, he lives in our hearts. He feels comfortable there. He joins in with the friendships, with the relationships that we have with one another. And he feels that he is at home. So as a church today, we can say to the Father, here, make yourself at home. Now, there are many objections to this idea, and they all have a point. Surely, if God's everywhere, does he really need a home on the earth? Yes, he is everywhere. People will say, well, can't you meet God outside the church? You know, I went out on this mountainside, and I had this experience of God. Yes, you can. Some people might say, well, isn't it arrogant for the church to claim that it is special? Well, yes, that is definitely a danger. Doesn't the church get it wrong more often than it gets right? Don't people get hurt in church? Yes, the church does get it wrong, and yes, people do get hurt, sometimes tragically. These are serious questions that need to be engaged with properly. But Jesus has zeal. Jesus has passion to build the house of the Father on the earth. And John's gospel that we read a chapter from today tells us a story of Jesus' disciples being drawn into that passion. We see that passion in a number of ways in our reading today. First of all, Jesus is passionate about his Father's house, so he clears out the traders. The point of the temple, that building in Jerusalem, was to be a point of contact between heaven and earth. It was a place of prayer. But Jesus looks into it and he finds it isn't that anymore. It is a marketplace. So Jesus does what he does, driving out the traders. By the way, some pictures of this, I think, make it look far more violent than it actually was. Artists have used a lot of imagination on this text. The sheep that had been brought in with a whip were taken out with a whip. Jesus didn't take the whip and whip people. I just want to say that because some translations give the impression that he did. I don't believe that Jesus was like that. But Jesus has this passion that this place must be a house of prayer. And as that poem we read was saying, it kind of asked the question, you know, what would Jesus want to drive out of his church today? I am not going to answer that question today, because I'm stepping down as minister of this church, and I think it's up to churches to come to the answer. What does Jesus want to change around here? I would always advise any church who asks that question to be incredibly careful. I mean, when I look back at many years in ministry now, I can give a long list of things that people have said were inappropriate in the church, and all I can say is if we chuck them all out, there wouldn't be much left. Now, Jesus's opponents here had ideas about what was inappropriate in the temple and what was appropriate. Their problem was bringing their ideas of what was appropriate into line with what Jesus's were. Now, I suppose the big question is this helping the church to be a community of prayer? And if there's a building, is this helping this building to be a place of prayer, or is it hindering it? But we are called to be passionate for the Father's house in the same way that Jesus was passionate. It took a long time for the disciples to work out what Jesus really cared about and what he didn't. They found that a lot of their ideas were wrong. So if we're saying that we want to pick up some of Jesus' passion, let's do it very humbly. Let's do it recognizing that our ideas may not be quite in line with his. But Jesus is passionate, so the traders have to go. Jesus is passionate, so he offers them a new temple. In fact, he says that this temple, this building that he's in, is finished. It's about to become obsolete. Jesus is the one who comes to us, the one who is, to quote one translation of John chapter 1, in the closest relationship with the Father. He has made God known. Buildings are limited. The temple was especially limited. There was only meant to be one of them. These poor people, some of them had to travel hundreds of miles to get to a temple. And perhaps we've been learning over the last year and a half that even this building is limited. People have been reached by online services who couldn't be reached within a building, whether that's because they are ill or because for work reasons or whatever they weren't able to come at the time, or maybe they just wanted to have a look at what was going on in church without committing themselves first to see what was going on. We found that when we didn't have the building, new ways opened out for us to get the message of the gospel out. As Jesus puts it in chapter 4 of John's gospel, it's a bit like wanting to get water from a well. And if you need a building, every time you go to that building, you have to go with your bucket, get the water and come back again. Wouldn't it be more wonderful to have a river just running where you are? So Jesus says, I'm the new temple. The presence of God is in me. The presence of God is in me in a way that it isn't in any building. And he says, you destroy this temple and I'll build it up again. And almost 2,000 years on from that, Jesus is still alive. And the temple is still here. And Jesus continues to give his spirit to us so that we can be a dwelling place for God. John chapter 2, that story that we read, is there to show us Jesus' sheer passion that he wants to do this. Let's see if we can tune in a bit to Jesus' passion. You know, I meet many people who are struggling with church one way or another. They've had difficult experiences in church. And maybe they have found that they can experience God elsewhere. But let's come close to Jesus today. Let's say we want to draw close to him. And let's just try and feel some of the passion that he has. I want the Father's house on the earth. I want communities where God is known, where God is love, where people are becoming more like Jesus day to day. We draw close to him. We learn about him. We learn to share Jesus' passion for the presence of God upon the earth. Jesus is passionate about his Father's house, so he calls disciples who spend years getting alongside him, learning from him. Now, he also decides, Jesus, wisely, that there are some people he cannot trust. That there are some people who kind of believe in him, they see Jesus as somebody special, but they decide to line up on the other side. Now, I think here, again, we need to be very careful. Because in the time that I've lived in this community, I have met quite a number of people who thought that Jesus didn't trust them. So I'm going to give you a rule of thumb here. If you are bothered about the fact that Jesus might not trust you, he almost certainly does. The people who Jesus would not trust were the people who were lining up against him. The people who said, "We don't want this man." The problem is never that we are not good enough. Hey, we are always not good enough. And I love it. I mean, we haven't got time to tell the story all the way through the Gospel of John today. We can't do that. But goodness me, how often the disciples get it wrong. Some of us last year during lockdown, we did a very detailed study of Mark's gospel. And at times you can just feel Jesus' exasperation with the disciples. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? And so often we look at the church and we get exasperated and we say, "Oh, this isn't what it should be." And no doubt Jesus looks on the church and says, "This isn't what it should be." But Jesus trusts his people. Jesus says to his people, "Let me pick you up. Let's start this again." And there's spectacular examples. You know, you think of Peter, especially after he let Jesus down so badly. Jesus trusted these people. They had a lot to learn. But he felt that with these people, that he could establish a dwelling place for God upon the earth. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. He calls us to be part of his community. He calls us to say, "This is what matters." And perhaps for some of us today, it's about believing that Jesus does trust us. It's about believing that he says, "You're my people. You can make the difference. Other people out there are doing important things and we can respect them and we can honor them. But you are the people who are getting to know me." We came up with a slogan a long time ago, "Discover God Together." My prayer for Mills Hill today is that that is what this church will continue to be. A place where people live with God and get to know God. And I hope who find that Jesus' passion for the church is contagious. Let's pray together. Father, you sent your son and he was passionate to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. Where does God live? He lives with us. Makes our home within us. Lord, today if we struggle to believe that you trust us, help us to get close to Jesus' passion again. If today we feel that the church isn't what it should be, draw us close once more. If today, Lord, we're crying out, "We believe." Take us to the passion of Jesus for those who believe as his church. Let's just be quiet for a few moments. I haven't got any particular word from the Lord today, but I do feel that for some of us, this trust issue might just be the main issue. Does Jesus trust me? Does Jesus trust us? If today you believe and you're not lining up against him, you're not wanting to destroy him or anything like that, he will put his trust in you. So try and hear that word from the Lord today. He's passionate that he should live with you, and he's passionate that he should live in his church community. Zeal for your house consumes me. So, Father, draw us close to that passion, we pray. Amen.